Welcome to the Survive to Thrive Radio Network at www.survive2thrive.net. Times are getting tough for most of us, and being prepared has never been more important. All of our hosts strive to keep you well informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. If you feel that the shows and website are informative, please share this information with your friends and family. If you would like to see certain topics covered, please let us know. Join us on Facebook to help spread the word. You can find the link at the bottom right of the Survive to Thrive homepage. EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with important information, but also with highly effective products that produce real results, such as EnerFood, coconut milk powder, liver cleanse, Coco Mojo, Silymarin, NutriCafe, and introducing the new 40-day, 40-night organic preparedness pail. A preparedness supply unlike any other on the market today. Supporting EnerHealth supports both this network and your own health. Without good health, we go nowhere. Go to survivetothrive.net and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right for automatic discounts, or call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com. That's enerfood.com. enerfood.com. A big thank you to all of our listeners already taking the products that EnerHealth offers. We truly appreciate it. We thank you for your support and encourage you to listen often to stay informed during these crucial times.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Liao, and today is Tuesday, August 23rd, 2011, the year of our Lord. For those that are taking notes, the website is watchmanscry.com. And today, my friends, I'm coming to you live, and I just want to forewarn you, if I cough a few times, I apologize. I'm getting over a late summer cold, but fortunately, I'm on the final lap to recovery. Also, I want to give a quick note. Last Thursday, I did a 4-hour-long interview with Omega Man. Yes, that's right, folks. A 4-hour marathon super blast. 4 hours. And I know that that's a lot to hear in one sitting. So I have broken up that interview into 4 convenient parts. So you can go to my website at watchmanscry.com and hear any of them, any of the 4 parts. On the front page, I have it right on the front, or you can go to my audio page as well. Now, I would like to invite all of you, when you have the time, to listen to it, because that program goes into an in-depth conversation of what God is doing right now in his body of believers. It goes into detail about the purging and the stretching that God is doing in our lives, and it also explains why these things are happening. It goes into a discussion also of my recent vision of Hawaii getting attacked, and I was able to spend a lot more time on it and share in-depth thoughts about what I believe it's going to mean and what's going to happen. And it examines the who, the what, the why. Now, I won't say the when, because of course I don't know when, but my friends, I really do believe that this is going, well, it may happen. I should say it may happen, but because I know the present temperature of America, I have a feeling that it will happen. And what I mean by that is that if enough people were to pray and repent and cry out to God, especially the residents of Hawaii, then we may see this event postponed or even thwarted. But unfortunately, if it doesn't happen, if people don't pray and if not enough people repent, then my friends, it's going to be sad, but we may see a new Pearl Harbor in the United States of America. By the way, I find it interesting that this December 7th, we're going to be approaching the 70th anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attack that occurred on December 7th, 1941. And also in that interview with Omega Man, I went into great length and detail about other things that are coming to America. So My friends, things are going to continue to diminish here in America. This isn't a good report, but it's reality and it's true. Folks, there will be a famine in this country. There will be a great famine in America's future. And then there's also going to be great, horrible darkness in America's future. We're going to see crime. American citizens are going to behave badly. American citizens are going to turn on one another. And folks, you need to know about this because you need to be able to prepare for it. You need to be able to process it. I know that there's a lot of listeners from all four corners of the country, and there's listeners from other countries, and there may be even groups of people listening right now. And you know, folks, as you're listening to this and as you look at one another, you're going to need to be able to depend on one another. You're going to need to be able to help one another and encourage one another, minister to one another, and be able to trust one another, which is another thing. We're going to need great discernment in the days ahead, because there will be people, unfortunately, that choose to react selfishly, that choose to betray one another's trust. So my friends, be careful. Pray and consider the friendships that you are developing with the body of Christ. Now, I'm not saying that to encourage all of us to be cynical against one another and jaded, because that's not a good atmosphere, but discernment is necessary, because in the days ahead, my friends, the difference between surviving and not surviving or enduring may depend on how much discernment we had or the lack of discernment. My friends, when these things arrive, or as the more heavy duty events arrive, I don't want to see you faint when they arrive. And that's the other thing that we have to really, really realize. People are going to faint. People are going to succumb, but who's going to faint? Who's going to succumb? Who's going to freak out? Who's going to be the one that cannot handle it? The one that loses it? The one that has a nervous breakdown? Who's going to look up to the heavens and end up shaking an angry fist at our Creator God? Who's going to do that? You know, folks, the scriptures do prophesy in Isaiah chapter 8 that many will do this. And it will happen because the light is not in them. If you have a chance to read Isaiah chapter 8, go read it. It talks about those that do not have the light in them, the light of God's word, the light of scripture, the light of truth. And the individuals that do not have truth inside of them will be in darkness. And when you're in darkness, it's hard to see. It's hard to see the next step. It's hard to see the next direction to go. It's hard to even see if you're going in a straight line forward. My friends, it is so imperative. It's so, so important right now to get a hold of the things of God in our lives. It's going to be sad, folks, but this is why Revelation says that still they did not repent. It's going to be the reason that they choose to curse God. But unfortunately, there is going to also be an end result. You know, folks, nothing happens in a vacuum. We reap what we sow. And there are consequences in our lives for doing the wrong things. And sadly, those who curse God are going to seal their fate. And folks, this is reality. And in this program, this is what we talk about. My friends, this program is for grown-ups, not pretenders. My 5-year-old daughter is a pretender, but that's why she's 5. And that's why I am her parent. I have to face reality and take care of her. And if you have a family, they depend on you to be strong, to try to have a word from the Lord, to try to have a word of encouragement and wisdom and comfort. And my friends, being in denial will not bring comfort. Denial will turn us into cartoons where the world is not real. My friends, facing reality is not easy. I know this. But it's not supposed to be easy. And that's why we as humans are the weak ones, and we need a Savior. And when we admit that we're in a predicament, and when we realize the truth of our situation, and we realize that there's a storm outside the walls of our home, when we realize these things, then we're more apt to give an earnest and sincere prayer request and supplication to God. There's more of a tendency to seek God when we know reality. Because when a person is in denial, then they're less apt to cry out to God for help. Have you noticed that, folks? There's a lot of people that say, I don't worry about that stuff. But are they really seeking God? Are they bulldozing the throne of grace? Are they seeking God with an earnest heart, with a white knuckle grip on the horns of the altar? Folks, that's the thing that we trade off. We need to find that place with God. We need to find ourselves at that place where we depend on Him and we cry out to Him. And unfortunately, that's the problem with today's church. Not enough people are seeking God. Instead, we have churches that are full of themselves. We have churches that are full of people who trust in their earthly strength, their earthly accomplishments, and their earthly proceeds. But eventually, my friends, the axle in Egypt's chariots will rust, and eventually the wheels will fall off. And when that happens, then what? And this is what we talk about here on this program. The events of today are happening so quickly. There's so many headlines, so many stories, so many news stories are still approaching. There's more pivotal moments that are approaching. In the fourth hour of my interview with Omega Man, I began to talk about the other missile that I saw approaching Spokane in a vision that I released in the last several weeks. And I was discussing and wondering and talking about what was this missile. Now, my friends, it was something, and it is going to be something that approaches Spokane. I saw the missile trail, the vapor trail behind it. I saw it approach Spokane, but I don't know if it was a biological weapon or a chemical weapon or if it was an EMP. In the fourth hour, we started to talk about the effects of an EMP, but then we ran out of time. And you know, folks, if this is an EMP that's eventually going to happen, I believe that the wise ones need to think about it and prepare for it starting right now. We need to be thinking about this, folks. So later on in this program, I'm going to be talking about the effects of an EMP. And I want to forewarn you. I want to say it up front, folks. The things that I'm going to talk about are going to be very, very hard to hear. They may scare you, but these things are reality. So I want to encourage all of you to get a pen and a paper and to take notes as I discuss different categories and the different things that we will be facing in the event of an EMP. Then we also need to be thinking on how we will deal with the situations that I'm going to bring up. But first, I want to mention that we had breaking news today. There was an earthquake in Virginia that was felt as far as 500 miles away. DC felt the earthquake. And I have a report that scientists are saying that it is very highly unusual for an earthquake to be hitting the East Coast in this severity. Now, at last report, the earthquake was said to be at the level of 5.9 on the Richter scale, but of course we know from past history that they will adjust the Richter scale reading. Sometimes it'll go down or sometimes it'll even go up. So this earthquake could even find itself and be reported as a 6.0 or higher or maybe lower. But folks, the ground is shaking right now. The earth is shaking right now. The land is shaking right now. In addition to the earthquake in the DC area, there was also earthquakes felt in Colorado, and this was a different swarm, and this has been happening in the last day or two as well. So, folks, to the average novice that is not watching the news and happens upon this report, they may be saying, what's going on? Why is that happening? And, folks, here's the bottom line of why this is happening, because we're in a new season right now. We're in a new period of time, a new period where great and mighty headlines are going to be affecting the lives of all of us daily. We're going to hear news reports that daily will shake us, bring shock to us. A lot of things are happening, folks. Why was DC shaking? I heard another report that said this could be a foreshock, meaning this is just the beginning. There's more shaking that's going to happen. But why? Is it HARP that's doing it? Are they firing up the ionosphere and making the earth shake? Is it Elenin that's causing this? I looked at the JPL website today to see where Elenin is located as of today, and today Elenin is not lined up with the earth, but there was another thing that I did notice that was very interesting. If you happen to know how to go to the JPL website and you can look at comet Elenin or any other comet or asteroid, if you go back to just 4 days ago, you will see that the earth was lined up with Venus, the sun, and Mercury, all lined up in a row. So is there a connection there? Is it the neutron dark star? Is it the nemesis Nibiru, Planet X, that's approaching us, that's getting closer and causing the land to shake? I don't know, folks. So many questions. And there's so many things that we need to be considering. My friends, none of us can be taking chances in our day-to-day lives and in our day-to-day activities. The ground's going to shake more and more. The ground is going to become more fallow. It's going to become more parched and cracked because we're in a season of judgment. We're going to see many, many things, folks. And I want to challenge all of us to really, really continue in the preparations that we're doing. Gold has reached an all-time high. It receded a little bit today, but it did go over the $1,900 an ounce barrier, and then it came back down into the 1800s. But folks, just think about that. Look what gold is doing. Silver is also going back to its old record. I know that right now gold and silver are apart, and a lot of people are wondering, why are they so far apart in their ratios? Well, it's called manipulation. But right now the financial markets are very scattered in their confidence. There's not a lot of strong opinions on the future of the American or global economy. This Friday, Mr. Ben Bernanke is supposed to meet in Jackson Hole, Wyoming with other central bankers, and there's going to be an announcement of whether or not he's going to proceed with QE Part 3. If he does do that, then possibly the equity markets, the stock market, will gain some confidence, and temporarily they will take their money out of gold and place it back into the stock market. So we could possibly see gold go back down a little bit, but that's going to be short-lived because it'll be the stock brokers and those that are trusting in the stock market that will take their money out of gold. But then what we will have after that are all the other people that are awake, and we will also have world governments that do not trust in what the dollar is doing, and gold will continue to have a further climb. If you can remember back to November of 2010, that's when QE2 began, and that was also the same time period when gold started its crazy rise to where we see it now. So these quantitative easing schemes and lies that the Federal Reserve is coming up with do not instill confidence in nations of the world and in those that want to invest in the dollar. So my friends, things are going to continue to deteriorate. The big question on many of the financial analysts' minds is, which region is going to collapse first? Will it be the Eurozone? Will it be America? Will it be a combination of both? You know, folks, it really, really, when you get down to it, it doesn't matter, because whether we crash before the Eurozone, there will be a cascading effect that will cross the pond and then will affect them. Or if they crash first, it'll do the other thing. There'll be a cascading effect and it'll come back here. So we are now in the days of uncertainty. We have entered the days where part two of the Great Depression has now commenced and began. So my friends, continue the warning that you're doing with your friends and family. Continue the efforts that you're doing, however small or great they are. Continue them, folks. And when you have family members that want to mock and scoff you and make fun of you and tell you that you're wasting time or you're just negative, you're a chicken little, we've heard all those terms. I talk about them a lot. Folks, continue in what you're doing, because the future events that are approaching this nation are going to, how can I put it lightly? Well, folks, there is no easy way to put this. The future events that are going to come in the next phases of judgment, I've talked about the fourfold judgment many times: famine, pestilence, the sword, war judgment, and then the attack of evil. When we see the sword judgment, when we see it arrive, when we see it place its foot on the shores of America, when we see it on the headlines, this is the thing that we cannot say lightly. There's no easy way to put this. Millions of people are going to die, my friends. That's the sad fact. I had a vision of two missiles flying through the air coming from Asia. One of them hit Hawaii. I saw the numbers 1,100,000. I believe that that is a body count. And then I saw another one hit Spokane, Washington. And then I am pretty sure that there were others that I did not see, and most likely some of you saw some of them. By the way, I want to say thank you to those of you that are sending me emails that show the visions that God has given to you about missile attacks here in America. I am gathering as many of those as I can. I got a lot of them from you, and I appreciate them. And what I plan to do is to post them in the link where I have the prophetic vision on my website, and I will condense some of them or have excerpts from some of your visions and share them. I'll leave your name out of it, of course, so that the people of God can see that God is trying to warn through all of his body, through all of us. God is trying to wake us up, folks. Now, after I did that program last week where I had Steve Quell as a guest, I got an email from someone that told me they had just watched a C-SPAN panel of discussion on cable TV. It was an hour and a half long. It occurred on August the 15th, but I believe they aired it on the 16th, which was a week ago. And on that panel, that televised panel discussion, they talked about the threat of a coming EMP attack. They had congressmen represented there as well as other experts on EMPs. And folks, I went to watch it. I wasn't able to watch the whole thing because of my internet connection, but if you want to watch that, just go to Google. This is the easiest way to get to it. You can go to Google and type in C-SPAN or C-SPAN and then type in electromagnetic pulse, August 15th, Heritage Foundation, because they were also the ones that were there talking about this. And for the remainder of this program, I want to talk about what they discussed, and then I also want to share some of my thoughts about a coming EMP attack. Now, the event that I saw occur in Spokane with that missile, I didn't see a nuclear explosion. I just saw it land. I saw it land or actually approach Spokane. And I didn't really even see the explosion because possibly during the same second that it exploded, I then was on a mountainside or a mountaintop between Idaho and Spokane looking towards Spokane. And you can go to my interview last week or also the Omega Man interview, or you can go to my website, watchmanscry.com, and I have that vision typed up so you can see what I'm talking about. But when I was looking at Spokane, I saw this orange cloud that was over Spokane, and I've really wondered about it. Was it a bioweapon? Was it a chemical release? Or was it an EMP? And over the last few days, I've been doing some research trying to figure this thing out. And one thing that I have noticed is that one of the sources of power in the Pacific Northwest is from the Bonneville Power Administration, and it has to do with the dams that are along the Columbia River and grids and transformers that are set up along the Pacific Northwest. And I'm wondering if Spokane plays a role. I wonder, is it one of the links in the chain? And if they took down Spokane with an EMP, would it spread throughout the rest of the Pacific Northwest and in other directions? That part, I don't know. If any of you as listeners happen to know this answer, I would appreciate it. But getting back to that panel of discussion that was on C-SPAN, on that program, Representative Roscoe Bartlett from Maryland, he's a Republican, he's on the advisory board of Impact America, and they were discussing the threat of an EMP that they say is approaching. They didn't say if, they said it's not a matter of if, folks, it's a matter of when. They said it's going to come, and in that discussion, they said some very, very informative and, I believe, some heavy-duty shocking things. They said that when this event comes, they expect, now get this, folks, this is from a panel of people. Some of them are actual representatives in Washington, D.C. They said when the EMP arrives in America, they expect America to lose 70% of its citizens. They're going to die in the first year. Now, 70% of 300 and how many million do we have? That's at least 200 million people dying. 200 million people will die in the first year of an EMP attack. Now, folks, that's heavy-duty information. They also said that you cannot depend and count on the government to protect you, to take care of you. It's going to be up to the citizens to take care of themselves. It's going to be up to the citizens to get their own food, their own water, because things are going to be in chaos. I found it very surprising that they were saying these things. They also went on to say that the event may happen one of several ways. One way would be through a solar flare, through a CME, which is interesting because we've talked about that very thing here on these programs. I've talked about that on my Watchman's Cry program. We've talked about the situation where in the future, this dark star, neutron star, Nibiru, Nemesis, whatever it is, may cause massive solar flares to hit the Earth, like a another Carrington event that happened in 1859 before electronics were invented. But this panel of experts were saying it could happen through a CME solar flare, or it could happen through an attack, a terrorist attack. And they even mentioned the nations that could be involved in the event that this happened. They said it could be an attack from Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, or some other rogue nation. Congressman Bartlett also said that several years ago, a high Russian official told an entourage of visiting American politicians that had visited Moscow, and he said that he was one of them. And he said the Russian official, and I believe he said that this official was the number three person in Russia at the time, and this official said that if they wanted to hurt us, they could. And then he went on to explain how. The Russian person said that they could do it with an SLBM missile and take down our grid for 6 months. Folks, there's the break. After the break, we're going to talk about these details further. Folks, don't go away. We'll be right back. You don't want to miss this. We'll see you in a few minutes.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today is Tuesday, August 23rd, 2011, the year of our Lord. August 23rd, the day that Washington, D.C. was rocked to and fro in an earthquake. Folks, the ground is shaking under the land. The ground is shaking and quaking. Also, a quick note that I want to say, I got some emails right here. Some of you have said that you're having a hard time getting to Steve Quayle's website. Possibly the reason for that is that his website, I believe, is attached to servers in Colorado, and Colorado also had some earthquakes, so that could possibly be the reason. Perhaps the power has been affected, or his server has been affected there in Colorado, so I don't know the reason. I haven't been able to get in touch with him, but folks, just think about this. Eventually, the whole entire country is going to be shaken with a major event, and the whole internet's going to be down. I believe that Steve will be up and running pretty soon, so at this point, I don't think there's anything to be majorly concerned about. Of course, if things change, then I guess we'll find out. So at this moment, it's probably related to the earthquake, but folks, eventually the internet's going to be bye-bye. Eventually, the day may come where it's going to be hard to communicate with people further than your immediate city or town. If an EMP does eventually arrive here in this country, life as we know it is going to change. Before the break, I was talking about that panel of discussions that met on C-SPAN. The Heritage Foundation met with them, and it was aired on C-SPAN last week. You can go there, you can Google it and find it. I will say this, though, it's hard to follow. I've had several people that have told me it keeps locking up or the buffering doesn't work very well on the C-SPAN interview. So the main talking points that were discussed on there was the Congressman Bartlett was saying that he believes this event is coming, And he's very bothered that nothing seems to be advancing within the confines of Congress to harden our infrastructure against an EMP. And because of that, he believes that when this thing happens, a lot of people are going to die. He comes out and he shares it. He talks about it. He also shared that when he went with an entourage to Moscow several years ago, the number three Russian official at that time said that if we wanted to hurt you, United States, we could fire off an SLBM and shut down your grid for 6 months. And then the Russian official went on to say this. He said, if one missile doesn't do it, then we have some spares that would get the job done. He also went on to say this. We have the ability and we could fire our missile toward you to do this from the sea. We could do it from the ocean and no one would know where it came from. Interesting, huh, folks? Disclosing in plain sight what they plan to do to us. And there was an arms weapons show that occurred in Moscow just a few weeks ago. And at that arms show, there were many companies that make weapons all over the world. And one of the things that was displayed there was this cute little container. It looks like a shipping container that you can place on the back of a semi, on a rail car, or on a ship. And inside this shipping container, you can hide an ICBM nuclear missile or a Scud missile or whatever type of missile you want. You can hide it in there and fire it from a ship. Very convenient. And when I heard what Representative Bartlett said about this Russian that said that they could fire it from the sea, you know, folks, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that it could happen very easily, not just by Russia, but any other rogue element. Congressman Bartlett also said that the government's not going to protect us against these threats, and we need to be prepared not just for devastating attacks, but he also said this, folks, the collapse of society. There was another guest on this panel that said in a post-collapse world or in post-collapse America, horses will once again be the primary source of horsepower. He also went on to say that the EMP attack could either happen from a missile being fired from the ocean, from the sea, from a cargo ship, from a submarine, as well as from an airliner. There's also some other technology where a Scud missile can be fired from an airplane that's already in the sky. So it will be harder to stop and it will be more difficult to know the origin. So folks, an EMP effective warhead does not have to have much modern advanced technology. The panel also went on to say that the government assumes that any threat from an enemy of the United States has to be valid through high technology. And this panel said that's not true because there are new ways to make nuclear weapons. They even said this, the United States places a lot of fear on the ability of a nation like Iran to build a nuclear reactor and say they're going to use the centrifuge to make plutonium so that they can make a nuclear bomb. And according to this panel, they said that there are other ways to come up with the ingredients to make a nuclear bomb. The technology from the 40s is limited. We've gone a lot further than that. So the U.S. government, the military, seems to be stuck in the 1940s, but the threats are going to happen through new creative ways. So another member of that panel discussed that in addition to an EMP attack, we could also have another attack that would consist of a bioengineered weapon or a chemical weapon. And he went on to say that another threat is that Iran is very likely using the same DNA manipulation and bioengineering technologies that the United States pharma is using to develop new medicines, but Iran's using these to bioengineer a deadly virus. So today's science not only has the ability to engineer a biovirus, but also has a vaccine that can be available to inoculate the attacking nation, meaning that the attacking nation can come up with some kind of crazy bioweapon and they have the antidote for their own citizens. So they're not worried about it exploding. So that's the things that were discussed on this panel. Now, in the last remaining minutes, folks, I just want to talk about what it would look like in the event of an EMP happening. Now, again, on that program, Representative Bartlett said 70% of the population would die in the first year, 200 million people. And some individuals may wonder why. Why would so many people die just because we have no electricity? Well, that's what I want to talk about right now. Think about this, folks. as I share this information, take some notes about where holes in your armor may be, and take some notes about where lack of preparation needs to be addressed. Now, first of all, for those of you that may not know what an EMP is, an EMP is a nuclear weapon that could explode approximately 200 to 250 miles over the center of the United States. It would explode, and by so doing, the radiation that it would emit, if it was high enough, it would have the line of sight to all four corners of the country. It would be able to have the line of sight to Washington, to Maine, to Florida, and to San Diego. And the radiation that would be diffused from an explosion like this would instantly fry all the electronics in all the computers. It would fry all the batteries. It would fry anything that's electrical in the United States of America or in the affected zone that the line of sight would reach. So going from there, within 1 second of an explosion, anything that we plug in would stop. It would cease to function. That means any engines that rely on computer chips, cars that were built after 1970 would cease to function because the chips would no longer work. Electronic ignitions would not work. The batteries would fry. Your TV, your cell phone, the microwave, everything that is plugged in would cease to function. So imagine this, folks. Imagine that this coming fall, the EMP happened over the United States. Now, if the attacking nation chose to, they could also fire off two different missiles. One of them could be for the western part of the country, west of the Rockies, and then the other one could be on the eastern part of the country. But instantly, everything turns off. So imagine it's 5 p.m. Central Time in Texas. Rush hour is occurring. Everyone's in their car along the freeways. In the eastern time zone, it's 6 o'clock, so you still have some people on the roads. And of course, if you go to the mountain zone and to the Pacific zone, it's 4 o'clock and 3 o'clock. So the majority of America is at work when the EMP goes off. But instantly, every car on every freeway stops. It all comes to a standstill. That means that we would see the world's largest traffic jam in the entire United States. And if some people have to drive to work 20, 30 miles, that's where you will be when it happens. And also, it means that you're not going to get a ride home. It means that every person, wherever they are, is going to walk home. Now, folks, just that event right there. If a person was 20 or 30 miles from their house, how long does it take to walk 20 or 30 miles? How fast do people walk? 5 miles an hour? So that would be, what, 6 hours? 5 hours? Depending on the breaks that they take. But then get this, folks. Who has walking shoes to walk 20 or 30 miles? Most people are dressed up for work. Who has food in case they have to sleep overnight before they can make it all the way home? Who has enough water on them? What if the cars that are at the standstill have crippled people inside of them that cannot walk, people on wheelchairs? What about elderly? What about children and babies? Who has 1 to 3 days of food in their car to walk their whole family home? What if people are on vacation hundreds of miles from home on the interstate or on a country road when this happens? What about the truckers? And also think about this, folks. Every car that turns off will no longer have power steering and power brakes. So there's going to be a lot of accidents. There's going to be a lot of wrecks. Right off the bat, there'll be people that are injured. What about several thousand ambulances that are en route at the time with a heart patient? What about the defibrillators that don't work? The ambulance will come to a stop, and the patients in the ambulance at that time are going to die in the ambulance. Magnify that all across the country, folks. What about airlift helicopters? The helicopters are going to crash all around the country. Most helicopters are not hardened for this. And then what about airliners? I went to the FAA's website to find out this piece of information, and it turns out that at any given time in the United States of America, in the air, there are 7,000 airplanes in the sky at any given time. Out of that 7,000, about half of them are commercial and the other half are private. Some are Learjets, some are little small Cessnas, twin engines. But then you have several thousand airliners. How many of those airliners are hardened against an EMP entirely so they will not be affected? Folks, they tell us to turn off our cell phones in the airplane when it starts. Is that just a ploy that they do, or can a cell phone actually hurt an airplane? And if a cell phone can hurt an airplane, what's an EMP going to do? So think about this. Between 3 and 4,000 airliners are going to become missiles and bombs. They're going to fall out of the sky 1 second after. Where are they going to land? They're going to land in catching forests on fire, in the desert, in the prairies, in cities, on highways, on houses and neighborhoods. They're going to run into buildings. Thousands and thousands of fires will be started instantly. But then get this, folks. There's no way to put the fire out because the fire trucks will not be able to function. When we go down the list of this situation, you can see just how shocking and horrible within the first few minutes. Now, let's continue with this. What happens to the individuals that are in stores at the time the lights go out? A shopping mall? Businesses? What if they're in a sports stadium? Pitch black? How long before the looting takes over? How long before people start panicking? Now, initially, people will wonder, what just happened? Why is this going on? But based on what I see with flash mobs and what I see with crime that's already occurring, where unemployed individuals who are desperate are willing to rob and pillage and loot and ambush individuals that are innocent, after an event like this, folks, it's going to become very, very dark. What about individuals that have their basket full at Walmart and they want to buy their groceries and the lights turn off? The cash registers no longer work. There's no way to pay for the food. There's no scanner. How many people have cash on them? The ATM cards will no longer work. So the first challenge after the EMP attack is going to be getting home. So folks, think about this. Since we do not know when something like this can happen, and if you are an individual that drives pretty far to work, or you live in a rural area where you have to make long trips to a neighboring city for supplies or food, folks, just think about this. You need to have in your car a backpack with maybe a few days of some granola bars or something that could sustain you and your family. Just have it in the car with you. Have some water. Have some walking shoes to allow you to get home. Folks, I know that these are radical things that I'm saying, but we're living in the judgment of God. This thing, I believe, is coming eventually. So getting back to the interstate, though, and the freeway, all those individuals will come out of their cars. They'll talk to each other for several minutes, several hours, and then they'll decide they have to walk home. Maybe they'll try to push their cars aside. They won't realize the gravity of the situation. So they'll push their cars to the side, and then they'll start walking. We're going to see the largest migration of American citizens in history walking along the freeways. For the people that have supplies in their cars, maybe they will go to a nearby store and grab a shopping cart. We're going to see Americans pushing shopping carts, folks. And now look at the hospitals. Think about this, folks. The surgeries, you have people with their chests opened up, having very, very serious surgery on life support, being kept alive. The lights turn off. The life support goes away. Thousands of people are going to be dying on operating tables when the EMP happens. What about the people in ICU connected to breathing machines, ventilators? Same thing, folks. What about people in the emergency room? God forbid, what about the newborns? What about the preemies? Folks, the nightmare of this situation goes on and on and on. How many people are in those airliners when they crash at any given time? What's the number? 600,000, 800,000, a million people are in the air at any given time. They're all going to fall to the earth instantly. How many will be ready to meet their maker? So within the first few seconds of the EMP attack, several million Americans would die. Folks, it doesn't bring me conquest to say these things. I don't say this as sensationalism. I'm talking about a valid warning. We have politicians that are saying it's not a matter of if, but when. So in the aftermath of an EMP, everything is going to change. Your cell phone is not going to work. How about this one, folks? What about your children? If it happens during the school day and you're 10, 20, 30 miles from work and it's going to take you 1 or 2 days to walk home, who's going to watch your children? Will the school go in lockdown? What if it's when the school buses are delivering your children and the school bus stops? Or what if your children are already home waiting for you to get home and they're waiting 1 or 2 days? What if they're too young to comprehend? You know, folks, I had the vision of the Statue of Liberty being decapitated several years ago, and the Holy Spirit said, tell everyone to pray that they are not separated from their children when this event happens. Could it be an EMP that did this? I don't know, folks, but you can see the nightmare that we're talking about right here. Cars will not work, and the fuel tanks at gas stations will not work. All the hybrid cars will not work. Transportation systems will not work. As Congressman Bartlett said, you cannot depend on the government to help you, because how is FEMA going to help anybody after this? Life's going to change. So let's say you make it home finally. You're at home and you open the faucet. Some places, some cities that have water towers or tanks that are on hilltops will have water as long as there's water inside of those tanks. But how long will it take for those tanks to empty? 1 day? 2 days? 3 days? How many people will go to a fire hydrant and open it because they want to get water and drain off the water tank? Folks, there's going to be an instant culture change. There's going to be panic, chaos. The telephone, the radio, the TV, and the internet will not work. Your iPod will not work. You will not be able to text your loved ones. No communication with the outside world. All we will have are the rumors. That's it, folks. And at that time, then, when will the inner city become Lord of the Flies? And when will it spread to the outer city? How long will people decide to behave and say it doesn't matter how bad, we need to help each other and depend on one another? Folks, how many people are going to help one another? There will be no garbage service, so garbage will pile up at the end of every driveway. The smell will get putrid. The maggots, the rats, the stench, the vermin. Because the United States of America is unclean, it's going to play out in the physical realm, being unclean. And then we'll see the looting begin in cities. Will it happen within a few hours? A day? 2 days? The food supply is going to run out in the United States of America within 1 to 3 days. So after that, the only food that every household will have will be what they had the time the event happened. So a 1 to 3 day supply, folks. How much food do you have in your pantry? How long would you last? Let's not forget the fires that are occurring in every city. David Wilkerson said he pictured hundreds of fires all across the country. Those dropping airplanes could sure accomplish that one, but the fire department won't be able to get to them because they don't have any vehicles to put out the fires. So houses and businesses and neighborhoods are going to burn down. Parts of cities are going to burn down. There will be no ability for the police or sheriffs to answer emergency calls. They will be on feet or on their bicycles. But how long will that last? How many police officers will remain in that situation? How many will abandon their posts and say, I'm going to go be with my family? So, folks, citizens are going to be on their own, and we're going to only rely on the help and the wisdom and the counsel of God and the preparation that you have done beforehand. And here's the result of this horrible, nightmarish scenario, folks. Thugs are going to come out like roaches. They're not going to have a conscience. They're going to have hearts full of darkness and evil and sin, and like an epidemic, great evil, demonic, possessed individuals are going to wander. Pharmacies will be looted. How many individuals depend on their regular monthly prescriptions to keep them healthy or keep them alive? Heart beta blockers, diabetic medicine, asthma medicine. People will not be able to have that. Then what? Every month, there's going to be millions and millions of people dying. That's why the congressman said within 1 year, 70%, 200 million people will be dead. It's because hospitals will be robbed of their medicine. There will be no way for desperate people to rescue themselves. There's going to be a lot of medical deaths. And then enter the nursing home. All the elderly that are frail, the elderly that are not ready for this, the elderly that need their medicine. And what if this event happens during a blizzard or bad weather? My friends, this situation will be unequaled in any Hollywood production. There will be no way to describe the display of human hardship. If some of you that are listening depend on these medicines that I'm talking about, my friends, I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm just painting a picture of what we're facing. So if there's any way possible that you can find an alternative to some of the medication that you're on, then do the homework. Get on the internet and find out if you can have some alternative medicine that's available. Or if you can stock up on some of the supplies. Or is it possible to wean yourself from some of these medicines? Every individual's medical condition is going to be different. No one is the same. But right now is the time for us to be thinking about these things. It's going to be a nightmare, folks. We're going to see the city mortuaries overflowing. And as cities try to organize and get together to get rid of the dead so that they can minimize diseases, there will be no way to bury the dead. Because the backhoe will not work. Or if it does work, because it's an old one, how long will the fuel last? How much fuel do they have to bury the dead? So grave digging will be done by hand. But then after a while, the dead will be left unburied because of the lack of food and because people will be so weak that they will not have the energy. And what about money? The banking industry will be destroyed with one pulse, my friends. There will be no ATMs. So how long will human nature allow civil transactions to take place before people start stealing and burglarizing and attacking their neighbors? After an EMP event, the United States is going to return to a barter system and things of value will be exchanged, whether they be food or tools or supplies. Will gold and silver be a mode of exchange? Will people exchange silver coins for bags of wheat? Now, of course, after a year or two, after society is able to slowly rebuild, then there will be a return to monetary exchange with gold and silver. But during the actual emergency, will people really care about silver or gold? Will they care about fancy jewelry? Perhaps at first some will, but according to what I read in the Book of Lamentations, it says that the rich will exchange their possessions for food. And it says that gold will grow dim. So, you know, folks, this is going to be a whole different way of thinking. What are people going to do to protect one another? Neighborhoods are going to have to band together. They're going to have to get organized. Citizens will have to band together, which will be a return to village mentality, one village against the other. Now, initially, some neighborhoods will have some evil, bad people that want to rob their neighbors and destroy their neighbors, but with the return of frontier justice and vigilantes and lynch mobs, within a few weeks, I would estimate that some of the evil people, if they are outnumbered in good neighborhoods, will be done away with. So it's going to be very imperative for people to have some sort of way to communicate with their neighbors, communicate with one another, to protect themselves, to deter individuals and make them think twice. Now, for those of you that may be against guns and against weapons, and that's where you are at this particular place and time, you know, folks, after this event begins, there's going to be a whole new construct of thinking. There's going to be a whole new paradigm. And people, even in the body of Christ, are going to have to decide if they think it's okay to just sit back and watch thugs rape their loved ones and their family members, their children, or are they going to be willing to defend themselves? Now, personally, I've said this in the past and I'll say it again. When it comes to thugs that would seek to harm my family, when I read in the book of Ecclesiastes and it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, I also include protection and defense of my family in that equation. And I believe, my friends, that it is my duty as a father to protect my family with all of my might and defend them. And I also believe that if a thug wants to be so stupid as to attack their neighbors and to attack the helpless and the harmless and those that are innocent, then they are placing themselves in open season and they are allowing themselves to be judged by God. Therefore, God is going to use other individuals as human agents to become the hammer of God. And I fully believe that, my friends. Thugs will need to be dealt with because otherwise we will have anarchy. So as Christians, I believe that it is a father's duty to be the hammer of God when it comes to robbers and thieves and bandits. Now that's where I stand right now. Of course, the way that I choose to deal with these types will have to be on an individual case-by-case basis based on the discernment that God gives me at the time. The ways that I choose to defend my family will be based on, well, I'll leave it up to your imagination. And during times like this, the people of God are going to need to have discernment so that they use the proper rules of engagement that are the wisdom of God. Because some people will need help. There will be legitimate need to help some of those that are migrating or some of the refugees. So my friends, it will be up to each and every one of us to help those that need the help, to help those that are needy, to help those that represent Jesus. But also, my friends, not all individuals represent Jesus that are out there. We need to think about these things now, and that's why I'm talking about it. Now, another thing that we need to think about will be the ability to cook food, the ability to feed your family. How are you going to refrigerate? Do you have access to a generator that's EMP proof? Do you have stored food, stored grain, stored wheat? There will be no way to cook through conventional means. Now, if you have a propane cooker, a propane grill, then you will be able to cook. If this event happens during the winter, how are you going to warm your house? If you rely on electric heat, then you won't be able to do it. If you have an oil-based heater, is it able to turn on without electricity? Folks, these are a lot of things to think about. That's one reason that I believe God led me to the Northwest so that I could have a wood stove and the ability to have wood heat. If this event happened when there's a blizzard outside or when the temperatures are below freezing, folks, a lot of people are going to freeze to death. So again, that's why the congressman said that within 1 year, 200 million people would be dead. These are terrible, terrible numbers. But this is the reality of what an EMP actually does. And speaking of cooking, if you rely on electric cooking, and if you're taking notes right now, I want to tell you the name of a little outdoor stove that you can get that is able to cook with very, very minimal wood. just a few twigs can boil water and scramble eggs. Google rocket stove. This is a very, very simple technology of a tiny little stove. There's different places that sell them. You can buy them online very economically. They're not very expensive. Or you can actually make a homemade one if you happen to be a handyman and you can tinker. So check that out. Rocket stove. Go to YouTube and there's individuals that have built them. And there are also websites that have plans on how you can build them or purchase them. The third world uses the rocket stove technology to feed millions and millions of people. So check it out, folks. I know that for years and years I've been sharing that those of you that can need to get an advanced supply of food beforehand. And at the same time, I also get emails from a lot of individuals that I know that there's a lot of people with limited income, but if people can afford to buy a coffee or afford to have their cable TV or afford to have their cigarettes or their beer or their wine or their lottery tickets, they can afford to get bags of wheat here and there. It's not impossible. Or it's also possible to sell some belongings to have a store of food. You know, I've been saying in the past that those that do not prepare will be standing in line for food. But after an EMP event, where are the lines going to be? How are the people going to get there? Who's going to show up to hand out food after an EMP event? Some people may wonder, why is it going to take a year? How could this event last for a whole year? Well, this is why, folks. It's because Made in USA no longer exists. It's because Made in USA is no longer a present part of our reality. These high energy transformers that are used by the energy companies are not made in the United States of America. I heard Congressman Bartlett actually say that. He said that these high energy transformers are custom made and they come from overseas and they usually take 1 to 2 years to be manufactured. So think about that, folks. There's going to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of high energy transformers that are fried at substations all across the United States of America that will need to be replaced. So those power companies are going to be waiting for 1 or 2 years. And that's why as this event becomes a seasoned event and as it becomes a culture change, the new normal, in addition to not having food, what about water? Where are people going to get water from? How will they filter it? Millions of people are going to be dying from not having water, from dehydration, and they're also going to be dying from drinking contaminated water. Montezuma's revenge is going to cross the border from down south, and we're going to see cholera, diarrhea, and dehydration strike the lives of many, many millions of Americans because they drank contaminated water. The bacteria Giardia that we find in streams and in ponds is going to be consumed by a lot of people. This is another developing story that we're going to read about. So again, my friends, those people that are not by a good water source, they're going to be in trouble. And those people that do not filter their water are going to also be in trouble. So that's another thing to consider. Do you have a water filter? Do you have the ability to boil water? What if you don't have electricity? That's why it would be good to have the ability to cook on something like a rocket stove. But what if you live in an apartment building? A lot of things to think about, folks. How much water does each person need per day to survive, to cook, to bathe, to stay healthy? I have read that 1 gallon per person per day is considered a minimum between all these different categories. You know, folks, I could go on and on about all the details, but I was just painting the beginnings of a picture. Now, again, when is something like this going to happen? That part, there's no way of knowing, but I find it interesting that we continue to hear about possible threats from Al-Qaeda. In fact, on March the 29th of this year, some terrorist threats were mailed. 25 different letters were sent to some news stations. And the letter said that the Al-Qaeda organization has planted 160 nuclear bombs throughout the United States in schools, stadiums, churches, stores, financial institutions, and government buildings. And it also said this is a suicide mission. Now, since that threat came out, the FBI has said that there are some items in the letter that led them to believe that it was a hoax and it could not be true because there were some things stated that really were not coherent. So it might have been just a hoax or from an individual that wanted to cry wolf. In that letter, they said 160. I've heard anywhere from 5 cities to 7 cities to 30 cities and now this one 160 cities. So, you know, folks, I don't know how this thing is going to play out, but I do believe this. In addition to Al-Qaeda doing it, which, by the way, is a CIA operative, but in addition to them and in addition to our legitimate enemies in the world, i.e. Russia and China, North Korea, Iran, etc., I really believe that there's an even probability of a false flag operation allowing this to happen here in the United States. It would not shock me to know that the United States of America would allow domestic rogue elements to pull something like this off here in America. So essentially, we would see the things that we saw in the movie Jericho, where it was an inside job, and elements within the government carried it off in order to get us to a new world order and a North American union. So how it plays out, my friends, I don't know. But right now, we are in a season of very dire times. So if you have not read the book 1 Second After, I would encourage you to do that, because the things that are mentioned in 1 Second After are really, really enlightening. And I believe that they help an individual to think through the scenario. So that's something to think about if you're able to do it, folks. Well, it looks like I'm out of time. I want to say real quick, my friends, that if you appreciate this ministry and these messages of warning and the sermons of encouragement that this ministry produces, then we appreciate your support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website, and there's a way to contact us there. Folks, share these messages with all your friends, your loved ones. Let's get the word out, folks. People need to wake up. The clock is ticking, my friends. Well, God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.